What up, what up? Welcome back to the B. Kane Podcast. It's your boy, B. Kane. I know it's been a while, y'all. We haven't connected in a while. And I would apologize for that, but y'all already know what the deal is, man. I told y'all I'm not coming to you unless I got something worth bringing to you, man. There's a lot going on in the world. I could be, you know, logging on every day talking about random bullshit going on. But, you know, I'd rather bring something, you know, more along the lines of what I've always been bringing y'all. And that's, you know, young, up and coming, or even, I don't even want to say young, because to be honest, today's guest is probably the youngest guest I've ever brought on the show. But we'll get into that. You know, I just want to bring y'all things that matter to me. And more times than not, that's music related. And one thing about me, whether it was on a radio show, whether it's on my podcast, you know, I don't do no favors, man. Everyone earns their spot on this, you know. If I bring someone up to the show, it's because I respect their craft. I respect what they do. And I'm excited by what they're doing. Therefore, I want to talk about it. And why not press record when we do that? So that's what's going on today, man. Again, real quick, before I introduce our guests, normally you guys know I bring seasoned vets, guys who've been around for a while, making a lot of noise. Doing various things around, you know, hip-hop related. Today we're bringing, I don't even want to say the next generation, because that would make it seem like his generation is yet to come. Now is his time, you know. So I want to say generation now. We have a young artist coming into his own who just released his first full-length LP last month, and I really enjoyed the project, and I've been wanting to talk to him for a while and finally made some time. So without taking too much time, let me welcome to the show for the first time the young homie, the young MC, King Charisma. What's up, Charisma? King, what should I call you? King, Charisma, KC? Like, what we doing here?
You can just go, you could either, whatever you feel.
I like King.
I like that too.
Yeah, I like King, especially since you spell King with an X. I like that, man. I like that right there. So anyway, man, welcome to the show, man. How you doing today, first and foremost?
I'm doing incredible, man. Just, you know, obviously yesterday, I'm just getting ready for this weekend so I can celebrate, you know, this anniversary we just had 1 month. So it's going to be cool,
yes,
man.
Yes, 1 month ago, you released your first, like I said, your first full-length album, Dungeon with Serpents. Which, by the way, y'all, is available on all your favorite streaming apps. I was listening again today on Apple Music. So if you got Apple Music, just search King Charisma. But again, the replace the I with an X. So it'll be KXNG and then Charisma as it's spelled. So yeah, man. So let's just get right to it, man. It's been 1 month. So before we get into all the other stuff, what's the reception been like in the last month, man? How you feeling 1 month later about the project?
Well, first and foremost, I know that, you know, to get to create this album, you know, I had to overcome a really big hump in terms of like some music slump that I was in for a very, very long time, man. So to get the reception that I've got, you know, to get reception at all is just even an honor. But, you know, the reception I've got, you know, everybody seems to love it. Everybody always tells me their favorite joints off of it. You know, 100 people are requesting videos all the time for certain songs and things like that. So, and it was shocking because of how long the project is. It was 13 songs. I thought that I was taking a risk because, you know, we live in a microwave era. So, you know, 7 songs is cool.
For sure. Yeah. You
know, that's why a lot of guys are shortening their projects. And I took a big risk by it. I was like, you know what, to be able to fully tell, you know, all the stories on this album or whatever, I'm gonna have to extend it to around 12-13 joints. And I did that. I took a big risk in doing that, I thought, but it ended up not being a risk because, you know, even with people, with younger people, they're telling me that they have a lot of different favorite joints, you know, a lot of people like different songs. So I'm like, oh, so they're actually sitting through this whole project and listening to it. You know what I'm saying? So
word.
Everybody's been telling me, you know, I've gotten great reception for it. I'm very grateful for all the reception I've got from it.
That's dope, man. And that's dope. And yeah, I made a note of that as well. I thought about it when I saw it. And for me, being a little older, you know what I mean? 13 songs is, that's about perfect for me. You know what I mean? Like perfect 13 to 15 joints. And even when I said 15, that sounds like so many nowadays too. But with that being said, man, I wouldn't even consider it a risk because this is art. This is your art. No one can tell you how much time you should fit your art into. If it takes 13 songs to express what you're trying to express, then do 13 songs. You know what I mean? If it takes 8, then you do 8. Only you'll know when this body of work is complete. You know what I mean? So don't feel like you gotta only do short projects or short songs because that seems to be the thing now. Like, continue doing what you're doing, man. I think you got a hell of a head on your shoulders, man. And you could tell that you know what you're doing. I'm gonna just say that, man. So continue following your heart, man. If it's 13 songs, do 13 songs.
Thank you. Definitely.
Yep. No doubt. So, again, 1 month ago, you dropped this project, and this was your debut. Now, you released music prior to this. You had an EP last summer. Was it last summer? Or
yeah, I did it.
It was last summer.
I did it as, like, a beginning intro of, like, a promotion to a screenplay I was working on at the time that we're going to probably film next summer or whatever. And it was called Friday. It was released on Friday the 13th. It was called Friday the 13th. Alex Goes High. Alex is a character I play in the upcoming film. And it was just four joints that I thought, like, you know what? These are in the tuck. Nobody's ever heard them. Why not put them out? Like, it was, you know, I'm a huge horror movie fan, and people know that. A lot of my fan base knows that. So it's like, okay, they know that this is like my favorite. You know, these days are my favorite. Just like my favorite, you know, unwritten holiday, I guess you could say. And so why not give people joints? So I gave them four joints, and that was also well-received too.
Word. That's dope, man. Yeah, and then you got some mixtapes as well. My point I was making is that, you know, this is your debut album, but you definitely have a body of work prior to this. So what made 1 month ago the right time for Dungeon with Serpents versus, you know, taking your time? You said you were in a little drought or something. So what made last month perfect for this release?
What made last month perfect was because mixed in with being in that musical drought and that slump that I was in, which was, you know, which was a very, very dark place for me. I also was in college at the time, you know, and I was coming into college. I was also recovering from some things that had happened during that summer or whatever. You know, I recently lost, you know, my high school sweetheart, you know, a relationship I was in for a very, very long time. So coming into college with that still on your mind, you know, it was heavy. It was heavy load. You know what I'm saying? So, but then through college, I also went through some things that, you know, I was writing out through music. And, you know, there was time, you know, if you listen to the album, you know, I'm sure you picked it up. You know what I'm saying? That there's certain stories I tell that happened throughout my freshman year of college. And that I felt that putting it on this album was perfect. So the release date, May 24th, you know, I moved out of college 2 weeks before that. So I figured for the people that weren't there with me, that, you know, that don't fully understand what exactly I was going through my freshman year of college or whatever, with a lot, you know, involving the relationships I made with a lot of people up there, whether it was good or bad, for the people that weren't exactly with me every day to witness all those things that were happening, I figured I'd give them an album to explain it to them. So I figured, you know, 2 weeks after I moved out of college for the summer, that, you know, I feel like it was just the perfect timing for them to understand what exactly my first college experience was for me.
Wow, that's dope, man. That's dope. I love the way you put that into perspective. And yeah, man, I could totally get, you know, especially you know, being at the age you are, going into college just with normal stuff, like becoming, you know, around the age of 18 or so, becoming a man, all the pressures, not sure what you want to do and all that. And then going through a bad breakup, losing someone I'm sure you loved. I know that had to be tough, man. And I could tell on your album, it's definitely personable. You know what I mean? It's not like you just spitting to prove that you're, you know, like spitting lyrical, spiritual, miracle rhymes, you know, like you actually are telling a story. You actually spitting some personal stuff. So when you said this was basically to explain to everyone how the last year of my life was going, I thought that, I didn't think about that as I was listening. But now after, in hindsight, after hearing it, I must have spun the album at least 5 times now. You know what I mean? So I definitely see, like, because as I'm listening, I'm like, yo, this is definitely a personable joint. And I could tell you had an issue, you know, like a little feelings towards, you know, women or a woman particularly, you know what I mean? It felt like you were letting a little rage out here and there, which is understandable when you're that age. And, you know, it could have possibly, I don't know, but it might have been your first, you know, true love that you lost. So I felt every emotion that you were trying to come across with. And being a young man of yourself, you're 19, correct?
Yes, sir.
Being 19, I just turned 40 in April, and it's resonating with me, you know what I mean? So I just want to let you know, you're not just spitting for kids your age or even a little bit older maybe, or a little bit younger. It's hitting home with 40-year-olds. So I just wanted to let you know that. I thought you're doing a great job so far.
Definitely. And that's what it's all about to me, man. Like, I know that was an issue I dealt with last summer in that slump was, you know, obviously, you know, I'm the product of, you know, Outta Space and JMT. You know what I'm saying? I've always been promoted as their young boy. So it's like, you know, a certain crowd is going to be intrigued by what I have to say. But at the same time, I'm 19 years old. I got the youth to touch too. And that's very hard because, you know, the youth want what they want. And you obviously know the content and the music obviously isn't the same. You know what I'm saying? It's making a comeback to some degree, but it's just not the same. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that was something I dealt with. I was like, yeah, man, like I can do super lyrical songs. And you know, the original fans that I have, you know, stemming from JMT and OS and AOTP in general, it's going to resonate with them. But 18, 19-year-olds, you know, I use one big word and they're going to click that off. So, you know what I'm saying? So
I get it.
You know, so I was just trying to find a balance as to what exactly I can do here. And I feel like this album was the perfect resemblance of that. Like, I feel like I got love from all age groups and all different crowds. And that's really what made me feel so confident in this album, because when we listened to it back, when all the masters were done, I sat with my brother, we listened to all 13 joints top to bottom, and we're like, yeah, this is the one to get you out of the slump and to touch everybody. And I agreed full-fledged. So
word.
And I know that with this album too, man, like, you know, you told me that how it's 40 and it's resonating with you. You know, a lot of people even noticed, you know, there was obviously people that listened to this album that were there for these experiences. And, you know, they showed their parents and stuff, and their parents was like, wow, this kid didn't went through it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and there was multiple situations with multiple people, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I went through the heartbreak, but that was just, you know, part of the story of, like, what I was telling, you know, with the different females and things like that. So the fact that I'm resonating with both crowds now, it's the best feeling in the world, because this is all I ever wanted.
For sure, man. And what's dope is you can hear, like, so as I'm riding home, today, you know, we spoke earlier, I all day long I knew this, you know, that wanted to knock this interview out. So, you know, like I said, I was already spinning the album as a, you know, just because I initially was curious, I wanted to hear it, you know what I mean? Bang, then I'm like, yo, this drum is dope. So the second time I listened to it, it was because I enjoyed it the first time and I wanted to hear it again. So, you know, I'm listening to it, you know, the third time I listened to it as a fan, because now I already heard it 2 times and I like it. So now I consider myself a fan of this album.
Right.
So that's why I turned it on the third and fourth time, give or take. It might have been 5 or 6. But now, you know, today I turned it on from the angle of I'm going to be interviewing this gentleman later on today. So now I got to listen to it from a different aspect. Right. And the thing that hit me, that struck me the most, that I didn't really pay attention to the first handful of times that I ran through the album, was that it definitely, all right, so the way it sounds current, you know what I mean? Like, you can, it sounds now. It doesn't sound like no 1996 golden era hip hop, which is great. I love that it sounds current, you know what I mean? But man, I can hear the influences. I can hear the AOT influences. Not saying you spit like any one of them, not even your own father. Like, not saying you spit like them. Right. But I can hear it. And how could you not? You were born into that. You know, that's royal. That's hip hop royalty, you know? And so you could tell you've been around that your whole life, but yet you were able to still come up with your own sound and still, you know, able to make those, like you said, because you got original people where being as though you are affiliated, that naturally brings some of those people gravitate towards you.
Right.
And you can still keep them happy with the music you're putting out now, but you can also try to gain those younger fans or even more current fans who didn't grow up on AOTP or OS or none of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you can still reel them in too. And I put myself in both, you know, like both. Because I'm 40, but I'm no hater. I like this generation's music. It's different. There's different sounds and all that, but I love it. You know, I might not like the stuff on the radio, but I didn't like the stuff on the radio really in 1998 or 97. It's right. always been bullish on the radio, you know? So there's still dope ass current hip hop being released today. And I love it, man. So, and you're just adding to that. So therefore, man, that's one thing I took away today listening to it, that you are able to, sound current, but also not go all the way left with it to where you relying on auto-tune strictly, like all auto-tune and, you know, you singing on every song and this and that. Like, you able to find that perfect balance, man. And I just wanted to commend you on that.
No, thank you for the kind words, brother. And it's definitely, you know, one thing that my pop always told me, he dropped a gem on me the one day that stuck with me forever when I first like started writing. He was like, listen, I don't care what kind of music you make. I don't know. I don't care what you talk about. I don't care how melodic or how mainstream it sound. I really don't care. What I care about most is that you make sure you keep them bars there. Mm. Mm. He's like, don't dumb down your pen for nobody.
Mm.
It's because at the end of the day, if you look at who sells the most and who's the most successful now, they all can rap. Yeah, like, right. In the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. the guys that sell the most, like, yeah, sure. Like, we got guys that, you know, aren't necessarily lyricists that they are successful and they do numbers and they have very, very big fan bases. But the guys that really get put over the top and that really succeed and really become legends are the ones mm-hmm. that rap.
Yep.
The ones that rap. Think about it. The three leaders of the new school, probably in the grand scheme of things, are guys like Kendrick, guys like Drake, guys like J. Cole. Mm-hmm. Guys like, you know, even guys that are like second tier, like Joyner Lucas, Logic, like mm-hmm. people like that.
Yep.
They Big all Sean, can rap.
All of them can spit. Yeah.
No, they all can sure. rap. Yep. And those are the guys that are, even guys like Meek, things like that, like got those are the guys that are gonna be around for a long, long time.
Like, yeah.
Those
I
are
agree.
The guys that you can tell are gonna be around even when 10, 15 years from now. And they're all 30 already. You know, they're like,
right.
They're going to be there pushing 50. I know they are because they all can rap. And I've seen it happen firsthand with some of the guys I grew up idolizing.
Right, so, right.
Like, yep. Think about it. I like people like Lil Baby and things like that. I love those guys. But mm-hmm. I just don't see them necessarily going to that extent to where they're around 10, 15 years with a crazy discography for a long amount of time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's not to disrespect the guys, because obviously I'm a fan too. But I just know, and I've seen it happen firsthand, that the guys that last forever are the guys that spit. And my pop was like, just make sure, no matter how it sounds, I don't care. I don't got to even like it, for real. But as long as you keep them bars there, I'm in your circle and I'm right behind you.
Yeah, and that's how it is, man. And moving forward, you know, that's where I come to grips with all this hip-hop shit. That's why I'm not a bitter old head, because the sound is going to change.
Absolutely.
But one thing that ain't going to change is the lyricism. You're going to have people that's going to dumb it down. You're going to have people that's not saying much. But again, man, I could play some dope classic music from the 90s where they wasn't saying much. You know what I mean? It's always been that way. It's just the only difference is now is that it's more easier to make music. So now you got a shit ton of people doing it and right. the balance is off. It's a lot more crappy people than dopeness. Yes. You know what I mean? So that's why it appears to be more saturated with garbage, but it's really all the same, man. You always have people that could spit. You always have people who couldn't spit, but they knew how to work a beat and make something out of it. And they blew up off of that. But what, like your father said though, adding on to what your father said, as long as you keep them bars, like the lyricism, the dopeness of that will never change. It's hip hop. It's rap. Spitters will always be at the top of the food chain.
Yes.
The problem is, are you a spitter that's too proud to get on the current sound? Like I was explaining, a friend of mine the other day, he's 30. Or wait, no, actually, he's in his late 30s, like me. Problem is, he knows how to rap, but he never recorded nothing. Never spit, like, never went to the studio, right? And he's like, yo, B, like, you know, I've been writing some stuff, and I really feel like I want to go in the studio. He said, the only problem is, man, he's like, being though the way I rap, people going to, like, think I'm from the 90s. And I'm like, bro, it's not about what you rap. It's about what beat you choose to rap on. Now, if you choose to rap on boom, bap, 90 beats, then, yeah, it's going to sound like you're from the 90s. But you can get a current beat now, spit the same shit you spitting, and it will come out sounding current. You know what I mean? So it's kind of along the same lines, man. And spitters will never die. So I'm glad father, and of course your father instilled that in you. Like, why wouldn't he? You know what I mean?
Considering who he is. And I'm taking all the knowledge that, you know, he told me something last week, because, you know, we were having like a little frustrations with something. I forget exactly what it was. And he was like, you know, he was like, take the early advice that I never had. Like, yeah, he had a, you know, my grandfather was on black radio for 29 years. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, he was basically famous, like, in where down in Philly. Like, he was a famous DJ. You know, he was the big Boricua DJ around the neighborhood that everyone loved.
Word.
So, you know, he had 29 years of experience in that. But at the same time, his pop wasn't instilling those thoughts that my pop is instilling in me now. So, you know, it's great to have that early knowledge that, you know, he didn't have. So,
for sure, man, it's definitely you know.
And another thing before my fault came.
Go ahead.
Another thing regarding like the guy you were talking about, you know, that wasn't sure, like maybe, oh, I'm not sure if I'll sound like this, and I'll sound like, you know, like a '90s boy, and you know, people won't like it. I'll tell you this. One thing that I realized about this rap game, too, you don't even necessarily have to have the hands of everybody. You can have your own lane. It just depends on, like, think about it. There's certain guys that, you know, that I know a certain crowd of people, they're like, man, that boy is corny. He's horrible. But at the same time, there's a certain crowd of people that love him because he's got his own lane. I know my youngest brother, he's a fan of Odd Future. Me and my brother, my brother Element, we hate Odd Future. Like, we can't stand Tyler and Earl Sweatshirt and all them guys. But my youngest brother loves them because it's just a different sound. But if you show up to a show, I guarantee that joint's packed.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
Exactly. Sure. What I'm saying. That joint is always going to be packed. But that's just a certain crowd. It's like your own lane. Like, necessarily, like guys like Benny the Butcher. He's a spinner that has his own lane. And guys like Conway, they have their own lane. So it's like, you know, I know me, I necessarily, like, what I try to do is I try to grab everybody, and I think that with this album, I did a great job of that. But at the same time, not everybody has to be me. You can have your own lane, just to find what exactly it has to be. Me, personally, I feel like I have to have, you know, I feel like I want to have everybody because that's just what I shoot for. But not everybody necessarily has to do that. You know, everybody can shoot their own lane.
Absolutely correct. And people make money in that lane. And I try to tell people that all the time. Like, you know, everyone thinks to be a successful rapper, you got to be on the radio all day. You got to be, you know, have the number one stream and you know, all that shit. And that's far from the case, man, because there are so many successful people who are doing what they love. Now, granted, they may not be living in mansions. They may not be whatever. Some may even have a job still doing it.
Right.
But they are doing what they love, and people overseas is paying them to come perform that music there. Now, for instance, my friend Basil, who the world knows as Freeway, obviously he, you know, at one point was on the hottest label in the game at the hottest time, you know, so he did have a little head start. But once that Rockefeller stuff fell off, you know, mostly everyone from State Property fell off, you know, like they'll do mixtapes, they'll do this, but no one was really still putting out albums besides Free was still like to this day releasing music. And my point is, like, Free may not be at the BET Awards receiving an award the other day or whatever, but guess what, people are still paying that man to travel around the world and perform. He found his lane, and he's going to be good, you know what I mean?
The best part about all of that is that the music is still very, very good.
Exactly.
A lot of guys can do that and the music be trash, you know what I'm saying? But like, Free is dope music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Because he's a spitter, man. He grew up in me and your dad's time. So, you know, he came from the era where you had to be able to, you know what I mean, spit or whatever. And then at the same time, he makes great music.
Like Wayne and Jada were on that album.
Yeah, no, he makes great music. Yeah, yeah. That's dope, man. So point, but I agree with you 100%, man. Find your lane and focus on that. You know what I mean? Everyone doesn't have to be, you know, the big mainstream artist, man. And there's so many people that, like I said, are making money, is making a living off of this stuff. And you mention them and they'll be like, who? Who? Like you mentioned JMT. Where I'm from, if I be like, yo, you know, y'all heard that new Vinny Paz album or whatever, like they're gonna be like, who? Or nah, you know what I mean? Like I, you know, because it's only that only works with certain crowds. You know what I mean? Like most of my circle, I'll be completely honest, they don't listen to the JMTs and to the OSs and the AOTPs. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of people who do. So just because I say, you know, this boy Paz is ill as fuck, you can't say, oh well, I never heard of him, so therefore he's not successful. Quite the opposite, actually. You know what I mean? Right.
And so, another thing I think that people deceive is, like, one thing that I noticed, and I've learned this a lot in the past year because, obviously, I had my frustrations with where I was going with my music and I wasn't seeing results, and I thought that maybe I was doing something wrong. But at the same time, I'm noticing, like, there's artists that I know personally, like, that are either friends of mine or that I know just by, you know, being from Philly and being on social media, seeing on Instagram and things. There's people with, you know, 17 to 20,000 followers that I know personally and that make music and rap, but they don't necessarily do the numbers we do. And we have 1,000 followers because a lot of our fans are global. Like word. I checked my numbers the other day, and my number one streaming country is Mexico.
That's dope.
Like, it was like Mexico, the top five was like Mexico, the States, Poland, Norway, and Italy or something.
Word.
I was like, a lot of these guys really think that they're, that, you know, they have a certain sense of entitlement and that they're over us. But at the same time, it's not really like, yeah, dude, you got 10,000 more followers than we do, but we got 10,000 more streams than you do. You know what I'm saying?
Right. For sure, man. I get it completely, man. And it's the same with like sometimes I get frustrated on Instagram, right? Because I like to do photography and shit. Yeah. And I'll post like what I thought would be like, yo, this is my illest picture yet. It's about to blow. Like my whole joint. I'm a, you know what I mean? Get at least 200-300 likes on this joint. And it'll do like 27 likes. And I'm like, yo, I got almost 4,000 followers. How the fuck do I get 27 likes? But then I'll go to a fellow photographer page who only has like 1,000, maybe 1,200 followers. And all of his photography photos are getting like 400 or 500 plus likes. And it's not even that his drones are better than mine necessarily, but it's just the fact that maybe all 1,200 of his followers are into photography, are fans of photography, understands photography, where a lot of my followers are music people, sports people, you know what I mean? And hood people and ignorant people and just people who don't get it. You know what I mean? And that's why. So I agree with you, man. But look though, so this drink been out for a month. You obviously, man, you killed that, John. I absolutely love it. The lyrics from top to bottom, you, like I said, you could tell that you put your heart and soul into it, man. So one last time, I just want to congratulate you on an amazing project, man. I want to say I hope to hear more, but I already know we're going to hear a little more. So that's kind of what I want to touch in real quick before we go as well. What's next, man? Dungeon with Serpents is out, and what are you working on now? What's coming down the line for King Charisma?
Down the line for me, I know that me and my brother have a collab album coming out. We're shooting for October 25th, you know, around Halloween time.
Word. Shout out to Element for sure.
Definitely. And by the time you put this out, people will already know about this. So I guess I can just, you know, take the cat out the bag now. Me, my brother Element, and my father are dropping an EP, you know, later on this year called Vainglory.
I like it.
And yeah, we're doing it's under wraps right now, but by the time people hear this, you know, it'll already be announced to.
Well, you better announce that, John, in the next 5 minutes, because this John gonna be live in about a half an hour.
It's all good.
I hope y'all make that announcement. You better text Pop quickly, like, Pop, we better announce it, because if not, they're gonna know. But I appreciate you sharing that information on the B Kane podcast. That's dope, man. And you know what, man? I love that, the fact that y'all doing a project together. Man, just, you know, building a bridge between that, you know, your father's generation and your generation. And I told myself before this interview, I was like, you know, I'm gonna focus on the young man, you know, because this is his time or whatever. But on the fact that you're openly speaking about your father, man, I just got to show your father so much love and respect, because at this point, because, you know, I knew your father a long time. We weren't, you know, like buddies in between the years. We got reconnected later down the line. But I met your father back in 1996 on the corner of 5th Ave and 65th Ave uptown. And I told the story when you guys were at the studio that day, you know what I mean? But, you know, but ever since, you know, and then I did a post earlier today, like, it's crazy because I met this man 22, 23 years ago. And here we are 23 years later. Well, 19 for you being born. But again, I met him before you were even born. Right. But to be interviewing you today, you know, just because of the, and again, when I started, I made sure I wanted to emphasize that you're not here because I know your father, or because your father, in my eyes, is a legend in this city. You know what I mean? You earned this joint. You earned this interview. I had a few people come that I highly respect, but their nephews just wasn't good, or their stepson or their son just wasn't good. And that interview never happened. So I just want to make it known, you know, as dope as your father still is to this day, because he'll still chew an MC's head off right now. Don't let it confuse y'all. But
this project, he's been a pain the whole time, because it's like we've had to bang our heads like, what are we gonna do about this dude on this song? But but you know, that was expected of us, so we came with it too. We were making, you know, we made sure, you know, whenever we do songs together, I make sure that I come with my sharpest blade, because I have to.
You have to, because he's not going to go easy because you his son.
No.
You know, he's going to try to chew your head off the same way you're going to try to chew someone else's head off. So, oh, man, this is great. I'm literally smiling right now, man. I love the fact that you know, that you're not only keeping it alive for your family, but you're keeping it alive for the city. And as a fan, and as someone who lives, breathes, and eventually will die of Philly hip hop, man, I thank you, man, for keeping the tradition on. You know what I mean? So I know your father, and not just your father, you got some pretty talented uncles and step uncles and other family members, man.
We
so,
built relationships with everybody over the year. Like, think about it.
For sure.
I talk to Apathy on a weekly basis. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For like Esco every week. So it's cool, man. Like, you know.
I like the line on your jaw. You was like, don't ask me about Chief Kamachi or so and so on. And like, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's, man. But, no, for real, though. Like,
yeah, it's like everyone want to know about.
I'm getting, like, as much as me and my brother have grown, we're starting to get the backlash of those situations. Like, people are asking us questions about situations that happened in the past, and we're like, yo, we don't know what to exactly tell you. So
right.
And a lot of the people are from not the states, so you know, they don't know no better, obviously.
Right.
And the morality is just,
like, why are you asking me? Like, you know what I mean? It's,
so they just don't know, and so you can get upset with them. But you know, obviously, I get the chance to say it in a rhyme. Obviously, I'm going to. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you are a product of that, and people are gonna like you because of, you know, the people you're affiliated with and that you come from. And then there's going to be people who don't like you because of those, you know, of the people that you're affiliated with, man. But so, you know, that all comes with the territory, man. So just get used to it, though. People, my point of bringing that up was you're going to have to deal with those questions all the time. Same way I'm sure Chris Rivers gets questions about Big Pun all the time. You know what I mean? And Lil Jojo get questions about Rev Run all the time, and so on and so on. So it's all part of the game, man. That's the reason why I brought that up, man. Is there anything else you want to touch on, man? You mentioned real quick, you mentioned the movie, the soundtrack, the EP that you did last year. What's the deal with the movie? Because I didn't know necessarily much about that. Is that still going to come out? Are you? Is there anything already filmed, or are you planning on filming, or what's up with that?
Well, the script has been written for about a year or so. You know, obviously, I had to get through my first year of college so I can go on full fledged with it, and I just had to do some research, save up some money or whatever to be able to, you know, and I had to meet some people along the line that would like to help me and like be involved or whatever. So. You know, but this upcoming year, maybe around fall time, we'll start filming it. And it's a movie called Prey. It's a horror film I wrote that's actually inspired by a song me and my brother did, which is still actually unreleased. It's almost 3 years old. But wow. the song inspired a screenplay. You know, I decided to do a little warm up EP to it just to tease it a little bit. You know,
word.
Yeah, me and my brother will be in the film. I'm directing it. You know, he's, you know, co-producing it or whatever. So it's cool. And obviously we got, like I said, we got the collab album, The Chronicles of Jack Bundy or whatever. And what we're trying to do is a show together for around September 13th, September 14th, so we can just warm up the album since the album will be coming out in October. You know, have a little show, you know, bring some people out, you know, we'll headline or whatever, you know. We'll just have a little fun with it, do a set for some people and just come out and have some fun. Get ready for that album to come out. And there's also another film project that I'm doing, basically touching on some of the situations that I touched on in the album. It's a short film called Bed of Lies that, you know, touch on some of the situations with my relationships with some people in college. You know, it's, you know, some of the stories will be tweaked a little bit, but, you know, just for the fictional purposes and to have fun with it. But there's a film called Prey, which is a full-length film, and a short film called Bed of Lies will be coming, you know, sooner than later. So, cool.
Dope. Who's your favorite MC in the game right now?
My favorite MC in the game right now is, that's a tough one, because I separate, like, obviously I like so much different stuff, but, you know, this should come to no surprise to anybody that knows me well and that will listen to this. I really love A Boogie's music, man. Like, I really do. Like, I don't know what exactly it is. I think what it is that I relate to it. You know, a lot of his stuff is like, you know, his first project called Artist was obviously a heartbreak album about, you know, experience he had. And clearly that's something that I was able to do on my album, my first album. So, you know, I think I just relate to him a lot. You know, he's really melodic. But, you know, if you really listen to it and dissect what he says, you know, that he's got a pen game that's very, very different from a lot of people.
Word. Hey, you ain't got to sell him to me, man. I agree. I like the young boy, man. I think he's dope. That the one song about his jaw blinding his ice and all that, whatever. It was so catchy but it wasn't catchy in a corny way. It was like, yo, and that made me open up more to the young boy. And yo, I'm a fan of him. So I get what you're saying.
No, definitely, man. And you know, I know people that have seen him live and said, like, yo, he's official. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him live yet, but obviously that'll change sooner than later. So, but you know, that's definitely one that I probably listen to on a regular basis that I can think of on the top of my head. That's probably my favorite out right now.
For sure, for sure. So we're only in, well, actually we're in June. Shit, we're almost in July. So we're about halfway, a little more than halfway through the year. Do you have a favorite album so far this year, other than your own? That came out this year. I know it's been a little light on music this year, at least in my opinion. I thought last year went down. If you had to pick 3 years of the greatest releases, like, of overall music in 1 year as far as hip-hop, last year would be included. And whatever, it might be 1996, it might be 1992, it might be 1994, it might be whatever. But you got to say 2018, in my opinion. But this year is not as many so far, and I'm a little disappointed.
Right.
But yeah, but do you have a favorite so far this year?
Any genre?
Yeah, anyone. Well, I mean, we were talking about hip-hop, but shit. Nowadays, man, my favorite album this year so far isn't hip-hop. So choose your favorite album this year for sure.
My favorite hip-hop album from this year? That's a tough one. I think I definitely have a favorite art. Like, my favorite music album is, like, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a huge Kehlani fan.
Word.
And I definitely heard her tape that she put out called While We Wait. It's probably definitely my favorite musical album. And as biased as it might sound, but you know, this music has, you know, like you said, it's been very light on hip hop this year. at least for, you know, it already starts, you know, heating up in the second half, you know,
for sure.
I gotta go with Camouflage Regime. Gaddafi and
Mama. Yeah. So, yeah.
And the reason that I remember going nuts because I was in a session at Found Sound with him when he first started playing for us. And
wow.
We looked at each other and we're like, yo, this is different. And we were happy. We were mostly happy, you know, me and my dad, you know, and my brother too, to some extent, you know, because he's younger than me. So he, you know.
Right.
You know, he didn't have to necessarily do as much, you know, studying on hip hop as I did. He's a lot more naturally gifted. But, you know, I think that seeing Gaddafi back in the mix, making music, you know, spitting and still spitting better than literally everybody ever, like, you know, it's crazy. You know, it was very, very, you know, as the hip hop nerds we all can be, you know, it touched my heart to see Gaddafi just back in the mix, having fun, making music. So it was cool.
Man, you know what, man? I feel horrible right now that I even slept on it and let it slip through, and I haven't heard it, man. I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I want to smack myself in the back of the head for not listening to it. But I tell you what, I am going to do. I am going to listen to it today. I will always say this: word of mouth is the best promotion. It will always be the best promotion for music. You know, and that's why I always encourage people to, I know nowadays is the age of posting and sharing and all that. You got to do that, of course, man. But no word of mouth would be, or no promotion will be better than word of mouth. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I was not checking for this album, but you just said it was dope. You said it, you know, and now I'm curious. Now I got to go listen to it, but I won't be able to not listen to it now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So. Anyone listening, man, support your homies that rap. Support your homies that got a small business. You know what I mean? Y'all sit here and y'all will go on and on and on and post everything about Game of Thrones and all these number one movies, but y'all won't post your homie barbershop. You won't post your homie's t-shirt business. Show some love.
Right.
Share an album cover. Tag that artist. Tag that friend. You know what I mean? And not just that. You know, again, word of mouth, man. If you heard something dope, tell your homie that you talk to every day at work or in school. Yo, this boy is dope. Even if it ain't your homie, even if it's on in the game. Keep that word of mouth promotion alive, man, because that's what's best. Hey, King Charisma, man, I appreciate you taking time to chop it up with me, man. I haven't did an episode. I think Goody Guns was our last episode, and that was when he dropped his project in December.
Yeah, we just saw Goody the other day, man. It was
Goody's great people, man. Goody is great people,
and
man.
Goody will more likely than not be on the collab album with me and my brother. So
that would be dope.
It's gonna be fun, you know.
I got so much love for Goody and his team, man. His team, you know, his one of his team members, Amir, is a really great friend of mine, and one of his original team members, who unfortunately now is up in the feds, Selk Star. Shout out to Selk Star, man. I got so much love for him and his wife and his kids. He's also affiliated with Goody, man. I just and shout out their whole team, man. Buddha and Real Dough Entertainment. But more importantly, man, shout out to you for being a dope MC. Shout out to you for fighting through that slump that you felt you was in and finding the energy and the strength to deliver such a thought-provoking, impactful album. Thank you as a fan of hip hop for that. And thank you for keeping this shit alive, man. Thank you for being a young, intelligent young man who again can be an influence for other young lost men, unfortunately, in the city and just around the world, man. That the 16 to 22, 23 year old crowd, a lot of them is lost, man. As everyone is, but it depends how lost you are, and you may be able to help people find a way sharing your personal stories and your things you've been through. So thank you for that as well, man. And again, man, just keep the culture moving forward. Shout out to you. Shout out to your whole family, man. I got nothing but love for y'all. And any last words, the mic is yours, man. You can end it out.
Yeah, Dungeon with Serpents available everywhere now. Be out on the lookout for, you know, the Chronicles of Jack Bundy project with me and my brother Element. Vainglory, me and my brother Element and my father, you know, it's gonna be a very, very music filled year, and I can't wait to see what I got in stores. And to you know, to everybody that heard the album and loved it, you know, thank you. I appreciate it with every bit in my heart, man. you know, I told these stories for you guys. And for those who were there, for all the experiences I was able to tell on the album, this is your album, this is for you. My guy Troy, DeMarco, Deshaun, my beautiful girl Emily, Tyreek, you know, all my college friends that was there throughout the whole process, I thank y'all, man. This is y'all album. And I just appreciate all the support, man, from the bottom of my heart. I love you all.
Yo, so if you heard, if this is in your ears right now, go to anywhere you stream music, Dungeon with Serpents, all right? Download or download it, buy it, stream it, share it, and more importantly, tell a close friend about it. On that note, y'all, you know, we're going to end this episode. Shout out to everyone tuned in, man. Big shout out to the brother Planet, man, and big shout out to Crip, and shout out to... Just shout, you know what, man? Shout out to Philadelphia hip hop, man. The hair on my arm is literally standing right now. I love y'all. Peace and blessings. Till next time.
Yes, sir.